It has certainly been a nice little stretch here for the Milwaukee Brewers, taking 2 out of 3 against Boston, taking 3 out of 4 against the Chicago Cubs. Now they face the Chicago White Sox. And Brewers in a great spot in the standings as well. You know, the longer that they can stay atop the division, obviously that is good. They are 5 games ahead of St. Louis, Cubs dropping down to 5.5 games back. But we were listening to some sound from Jeff Passan in the first hour of the show, who was on the Pat McAfee show yesterday. And they were talking specifically about the Pittsburgh Pirates, because they've got this exciting young player, kid out of LSU, Paul Skeens is his name. And Pat McAfee was asking, like, how long can we expect him to be in a Pirates uniform? And Passan was saying, like, as long as they want to pay him. And then Passan had this to say about small market baseball teams and the narrative that they are the have-nots versus the haves in Major League Baseball.
Anytime that somebody stays with a small market team for the entirety of his career, like, goodbye me. Not just goodbye me because I'm someone who grew up in Cleveland and lives in Kansas City now, but I understand the disparity in sports between the large market and the small market teams. And the fans in smaller markets sometimes feel like the big business of sports is conspiring against them. So when Bobby Witt Jr. went out and signed a, you know, 12-year, almost $300 million contract to remain with the Kansas City Royals this offseason, it's like, hey, by the way, these small market teams can pay guys. If they don't, it's just because they chose not to.
So Christian Yelich comes to mind, obviously, for Brewers fans, because he signed that team-friendly deal not that long ago to stay with the Milwaukee Brewers when there were thoughts that he would go elsewhere. It has sort of worked out. Gabe, you always say anyone would have given Christian Yelich that deal. He obviously has dealt with injuries since then, but seems to be regaining some of that MVP form. But I think about a guy like Willy Adames. We obviously have the Corbin Burns. We obviously have the Josh Haders, guys who were the best at what they did. And the awards show it. And the Brewers just chose not to pay them, chose not to keep them around. So now you got a guy in Willy Adames, who I think a lot of people should be excited about, are excited about. He is one of the best players at the shortstop position. You can probably find, like, I don't know, 9 guys in around the league who are definitively better than him. But he obviously has his moments. You know, Sophia was talking to us earlier this week about how Willy could have 3 more home runs in his tally this year because he's just been robbed at the wall. But Willy Adames is a free agent after this year. Gabe, should I start preparing myself for the likelihood that Willy Adames will not be in a Brewers uniform after this season?
Oh, you shouldn't start preparing yourself. It's just a fact. I doubt he's going to be in a Brewers uniform at the end of the season. It's part of the reason why they, as part of one of the trades they made this offseason, got Jory Ortiz, because he's going to be the shortstop of the future. Made a great play at third base last night. Or yesterday afternoon. He's going to slide over to shortstop.
And the day before.
That's what's going to happen there.
What is Passan saying, though? I mean, because anybody can pay anyone, but it's the matter of, do you go into the red or the black, whatever the bad one is.
So
it's always the red.
The best
the red. Papers back in school. We talk about the red marks.
So can they do it without going in the red?
No.
Then what the hell is he talking about?
Because
businessmen do not want to go into the red.
Yeah,
do they
this
want
isn't
to win World Series and championships or not?
No, not if they're in the red.
But
I'm sorry, they don't.
But sports teams aren't a cash flow business. They're an equity business.
And we always talk about a vanity business, honestly.
Yes.
It's a vanity project.
It's an equity business. Like, and Craig talked about this with the Bucks owners. The Bucks owners lose a bunch of money year over year. But we just saw one of the owners who bought in, and I can't remember what percentage it was, but bought in when they bought the team at $550 million. And then we just saw Mark Lazary say, deuces, I'm out. I'm, you know, somebody can buy me out. They bought him out, and the team was evaluated at, what, $2.5 billion?
Which is smart. He had a huge return on his investment.
Exactly.
Yes.
So that's what it's not a year-over-year. Yeah, you may lose some money from time to time, but you're getting the money in the long run when you sell the franchise, because the evaluations just continued to, like, skyrocket. It wasn't even a decade ago that they bought the team, and he got back, what, 5 times his investment?
Yep. Okay, in regards to the Bucks, though. Fast forward to when Giannis isn't here anymore. Probably going to be a huge dip. Probably not going to be a top 10 team in the NBA.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
So if you wait it out, Lazary did it perfectly. They're close to their height. Dump it. and move on.
See, but the franchise valuation won't go down. Is the point?
You don't think so with Giannis?
No, because they've got the arena. They're locked into the arena. Like all of the things to make the money are there.
So you're saying go in the red now because you're going to make it up when you sell the team in 15 years.
Correct.
I get it.
For context here, Mark Adonasio bought the Brewers for $223 million. Dollars.
Mm-hmm.
They are now valued at $1.61 billion. Dollars. So for Gabe to say, well, yeah, you're going to lose some money, but you would have to lose money for decades for that not to pay off. Yeah. It would have to be 50 years of losing money before you like made it out not in the positive.
I guess what was the difference, Gabe, for Christian Yelich versus some of these other players who we have felt, the fans have felt, would be valuable or would have been beneficial to hold on to? What was the difference there? Just that he was willing to take a team-friendly deal?
Well, it wasn't even necessarily team-friendly, but typically the way that Atanasio and the Brewers have operated is they'll pay one guy. One guy, big-time money for a long-term deal. It's what we went through back in the early 2010s. You had Prince Fielder, you had Ryan Braun. Had to make a decision. Ultimately, the team decided that it was going to be Ryan Braun who got the big contract. He did. Prince eventually left after the 2011 season as a free agent. The Brewers have historically decided one guy.
But it hasn't worked. And again, I know you can sit here and say, relatively speaking, they have been more successful over the last decade than they have ever been in the history of the franchise. I get it. But at the end of the day, you're not getting rewarded for playoff appearances. You get rewarded. The juice is there when you win the World Series. And having those high-end elite players is what puts you in a better position to win. It feels like Adonasio and the Brewers ownership group is spinning a roulette wheel. Mm-hmm. And they keep hoping to land on the smallest sliver because they have a decent team, a good team. But you need everything to go right. You need this upstart young group of plucky guys to shock the world in order to make it happen.
But wouldn't the counter argument to that be, well, yeah, but it's kind of what the Dodgers are doing. The Mets stink. Like, spending money doesn't guarantee success.
No, look at the Padres.
You have to be a good evaluator of talent as well.
Yeah, look at the Padres. But
then they did a fire sale.
Is this the same issue that got Herb Cole run out of owning the box? Because he wouldn't spend money?
Did they ever have top-tier talent, though, before Giannis?
Ray Allen.
Yeah, Ray Allen and Big Dog. I mean, that was a pretty good team.
But they broke that team up.
Yes.
Eventually. And that was the mistake.
Because they didn't want to pay him.
Well, they traded Ray Allen because George Karl was kind of scared that Ray Allen was more powerful than him. So George is like, hey, we got to get Ray out of here. And that obviously blew up in their face. So, I mean, because in the NBA, like especially at that time in the NBA, like you still had a pretty hard salary cap versus what it is now. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a soft salary cap. But that's the way that Atanasio is going to run the team. Like I don't think he's going to change. Hasn't changed in how many ever years that he's owned the team.
So to bring it back to Willy Adames, you don't think there's any chance that they figure out a way to keep him?
Maybe.
And
so,
if they choose not to keep him, should we be preparing ourselves for them to trade him before the trade? Like, should we be prepared to only have a month or two left?
No,
Willy
they're not
going
to trade him before the deadline. They'll just let him walk away in free agency. And if he signs a big time deal, they'll get a compensatory pick because that's something that's been factored into baseball. I mean, right now, Willy is the 10th highest paid shortstop in baseball. His arbitration number this year was $12,250,000. There's a big jump, though, between him and 9, which is Trevor Story, at $22.5 million.
Who's
like,
hurt?
If Willie wants Trevor Story money, then yes, he's gone. If he's looking for $16 million per year, maybe they work something out. Especially because Willie's a little bit older. Maybe they sign him to a shorter 2-3-year deal. He sticks around for a little bit longer. But if he's searching for, you know, to climb up that top 10 leaderboard, I don't think the Brewers will
pay. So you're saying if this is his MO, then you want a new owner?
If you're a fan.
If you're a fan.
Because it seems like, because Craig mentioned the soccer team he's invested in. He's part of the strategic sports group that just poured a bunch of money into the PGA Tour and professional golf. It seems like instead of having some of the money from his other business ventures and pouring it back into the Brewers, he's taking that money, spending it elsewhere. And he'd rather have the extra $10 million for Willy Adames next year if he wants $22 million, and he wants that cash flow going elsewhere.
What's caused me to become disillusioned as a Brewers fan is the fact that I don't expect Mark Adonasio to be spending $300 million or even losing money every single year. It just seems that the past 4 or 5 years, the Brewers were in a unique situation that is very, very difficult for even the highest spending teams
and
to
come by.
And
enviable, right? They were in an enviable position.
The starting pitching was as good as anybody's. They had great relievers, and they had enough, a few position players that were guys that were top of the line. What the Brewers failed to do was invest more and to go all in on those teams
on
to
the
give
offense.
Themselves a better chance at becoming a World Series team.
I just want to get this clear, Gabe. So this, if this is his MO, mm-hmm. right, why do you blame Counsell to go into the Cubs?
Oh, because he's like, oh, hey, I'm one of you. And then you go and you go to the Mets, man. Go anywhere else. Literally go anywhere else. But you decided to go to the rival. So you get booed when you come back. When you're trying to embrace yourself with me, you come into my house and you tell me, hey, I'm one of you guys.
So this is the Brett thing. You were fine with Brett going to the Jets, fine, but
100%.
When he went to Minnesota, he 100%. Crossed the line.
And as we kind of learned when it comes to Counts, this was something that was on his mind for a long time. He brought it up this week and it kind of went unnoticed. But when he brought up David Stearns' name, he's like, yeah, when David left, you know, you start thinking about it. Oh, so you've been thinking about this for a year and a half. This wasn't just a last 6 months thing. You decided to leave the Brewers and move on.
I also think, like, Gabe and I can recognize we are being a tad irrational because we understand that Counsell's leaving for a situation that you could easily say is better and is more money. But the fact that he was supposed to be the homegrown kid, the guy with all the loyalty to us and has left, that's really it. Like, I don't think Gabe holds any, like, I don't. You got more money. We get it. That's simple thing.
You want to be a legend at the bank.
Yeah.
Be
and
a legend
again,
at the bank.
It's what we talk about all the time. It's what anybody would do. They would do what is in the best interest of their family, what is in the best interest of their bank account. They would do what is in the best interest of their career. It's just, you know, you don't like the optics of it, essentially. You don't like the fact that it was the Cubs and its rival, although it seems to be working out pretty good, and I will continue to bang this drum. The only way that Pat Murphy is the manager of the Milwaukee Brewers right now is if Craig Counsell brings him in when he got the job and he becomes his bench coach.
And you want to talk about buying in, Chu? You talked about how you guys bought into Holmgren.
Mm-hmm.
This team has very clearly bought into the brand of baseball that Pat Murphy wants to play.
Yeah.
And he was on display yesterday with them taking extra bases, being uber aggressive on the base paths.
Love it.
It's a fun brand of baseball to watch.
But that's the issue, and I think that's where we're getting a little bit sideways on this thing. I went to the ballpark the other night. I had a freaking blast at the ballpark. Got to sit right behind the Cubs dugout. Great energy. You're right there close to the action. It was a fantastic time. So I think you can convince yourself as a fan that on a nightly basis, you're having fun. Teams winning more mm-hmm. games than they're losing. This is enjoyable. But then at the end of the season, whether the team is in a position to go to the playoffs or not, you have to have that reality check with yourself of like, they haven't done the things, i.e. spend the money, in order to be a viable or realistic threat to win a World Series. Therefore, did I have fun? Yeah, I had fun. Are we having any fun? Yes, I had fun this season. And that, for me, needs to be the metric with which I gauge the success of the season.
But also, baseball's weird, wild, and wacky. Who represented the National League in the World Series last year? And how much money did they spend?
Diamondbacks.
And not a lot.
Yeah.
And not a lot.
So you want another CC?
I'd take another CC.
Yeah.
I think I had a CC in Corbin Burns, but...
Okay.
He's saying CC Sabathia,
I understand.
Not CC as in Craig Counsell.
I understand that.
Jim Blammer yesterday?
No, I think... Well, no. CC was even better than Burns,
of
man.
Of course.
CC was...
Yeah.
That guy... You want to talk about people doing things that they know should have never done.
Yeah,
he should have never taken the ball as often as he did going into a contract year. He's like,
knew what it meant to the franchise.
He's like,
he knew what it meant to the fan base to get to the postseason.
I pitched yesterday. Don't
drought.
Care. Give me the ball.
Yeah. That was great.
800-990-3776. I do want to go out to the phone lines. Howard has been waiting patiently on the line and wanted to weigh in on what Jeff Passan said on the Pat McAfee show yesterday. Good morning, Howard.
Good morning. I think Passan was right and wrong. Right in that small market teams can pay, wrong in that they can pay a player, and that investment has to work out. The big teams make mistakes all the time and spend huge amounts of money on people that don't produce, and they can buy a bunch of them. A small market team has a smaller revenue. That's how a market is defined. And nobody should be expected to lose money, though it's nice if they are willing to do that. There's, I can't tell Antanasio, I love the Brewers. You go lose $200 million so I can cheer for a champion.
Yeah, but he's not really losing $200 million because the evaluation's probably going up by at least that much, right?
Okay, Okay, Gabe, you just bought a house, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The house will appreciate in value.
Correct.
Does that help you until before you sell the house?
Are you buying groceries with the equity? I think is what he's saying.
Well, no, but if you're rich, but if you're rich enough. Like, if you're rich enough to own one of these sports franchises, which is one of the most exclusive groups to be in, if you have that type of money, you got the money to lose a couple of bucks here and there.
Yeah, you can because lose
But they don't look at it like that. Trust me, they don't look at it
but
like
plenty
that.
Of them
they
do
run
too.
Lean. They run lean.
So many of the teams do, though, man. And that's the point. And that's the point that Jeff Passan was making. Is the point that Craig made?
Yeah, no.
Like the Bucks are losing hand over fist every year, but they know they're getting the money back in the end.
Yeah.
Like, me owning a house isn't the same as, you know, Mark Lazary owning a franchise. Like, he's owning a franchise because it seemed like it was something fun to do. I own a house because, well, I need a roof over my head.
Howard, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. And that is the weird space that we exist in as Brewers fans. That is the weird space of, I know they're never going to spend big bucks, which is why the Willy Adames thing seems very timely. He's been fantastic. He's exciting to watch. He fits in so well with that clubhouse, which, by the way, we heard when he came over from Tampa Bay, right? That was the book on him. That was the narrative. He's a great clubhouse guy. Fans are going to love him. Well, we do. And now I don't want to see another guy hit free agency, and it's just shrug, not staying. Brewers can't pay him. Brewers don't want to pay him. Shrug. Sorry, Willie. Thanks for the memories. 800-990-3776 if you want to weigh in on this conversation. Lots of folks popping off on the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line. We roll on right after this.
Change the way you do business. Take more control with the payment process with Fifth Third Bank's Treasury Management Solutions. Their market expertise and managed services streamline the entire payment process and integrate with your existing systems, giving you more control than ever. With their suite of payment solutions, you will soon recognize new revenue sources that can save time, offset operating costs, and improve the bottom line, all customized for you and your business. Fifth Third Bank National Association. Custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
excuse me. Hold on. Getting choked up over it. So, hold on. Give me a moment.
On 94.5 ESPN.
But I'm thinking, time for a change. Get out of your lane.
Whether you're a local who wants to enjoy a night out or you are planning to visit our great city of Milwaukee, you can enjoy an artfully stylish experience at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. The hotel is ideally located in the heart of the theater district in downtown Milwaukee. It's got a deluxe accommodations. It's got culinary creativity. It's got on-site art galleries. That's right, art galleries right there at the hotel and nightly live music. So you'll enjoy every element of your stay, and you can book rooms starting as low as $129 a night. Learn more and book your stay at stkatearts.com. That's stkatearts.com. Do we need big-time, well-known former quarterbacks pumping up Jordan Love? I think not. I don't think we're at this point anymore as a Packers fan base where we need people telling us that Jordan Love is good, or that Jordan Love can be good, or that Jordan Love is the future of the franchise, or that the way that the Packers did things with Jordan Love seems to have been the best way.
Not even the GOAT. I bet Jordan Love loved it.
That's a very good point. Yeah, very good point. Sometimes you just want somebody of Tom Brady's ilk to know that you exist. Right?
Yeah.
Let alone say that you're doing good things. So Tom Brady was talking. He was on Fox yesterday, which he will be on much more. As you know, he is now the number one analyst for the Fox football package, joining Kevin Burkhardt and Aaron Andrews and Tom Rinaldi on Fox's number one NFL package the upcoming season. So he's making the rounds, basically. I think they're trying to get him as much practice doing TV and talking ball as possible. So yesterday, Tom Brady had this to say about Jordan Love and the Packers' development of their franchise quarterback.
Some of these teams, and you look at Jordan Love, who I was watching some of those clips that you had on before I came on, but he had Aaron Rodgers to watch. That's the best type of training, in my opinion. Watch someone else do it at a very high level and then try to emulate them with your own personality. Maybe a little bit of the misnomer with the draft is that these players can come in and all of a sudden become this great professional player before they've really had the training and the development.
No.
No. So?
No, because, Chew, the Aaron Rodgers to Jordan Love situation was such a unicorn. Where else are you able to duplicate that? It's like when we talk about the 49ers guys and we talk about how mm-hmm. they have been able to spend all the money on all these other positions because they got 0.03% of their salary cap going towards the quarterback in Brock Purdy. Good luck trying to duplicate that. If that's your blueprint for success, you're going to have a real tough time nailing down the exact situation where your situation matches their situation. And I feel that that's similar with Aaron Rodgers being a multiple-time MVP, being one of the best to ever do it, to drafting Jordan Love in 2020, the turmoil that that caused, the malcontent that that created, and then it working out that Jordan Love is the future of this team.
And it's kind of funny seeing as how Tom Brady kind of forced his Jordan Love out of New England when the Patriots yeah. were trying to
the Packers did
with Jimmy Garoppolo, and he's like, no, I'm staying here.
Didn't see that coming.
Hey, Robert, how about you just trade Jimmy G and trade him on the cheap?
So it's very unusual, I think, Chew, that Tom Brady is sitting here banging this drum of this is how you should do it, when it's very unlikely that a team is going to find itself in a position to be able to mimic that plan.
So you weren't big on Atlanta drafting Penix when they had Cousins there? Because he's obviously going to sit for at least 2 years, right?
At least, yes.
I think it's a huge benefit, especially for the quarterback position, because you have to know so much and you got to be able to react so quick, you know. And Josh, you brought up a great point, because I was ready to start my third year, and I think they had me penciled in as starting, but then I pulled my hamstring. But I also had the benefit of playing 15 plays a game, dip my toe in the water. And I did. I benefited from having Eddie West there. Now, I didn't benefit so much from Jackie Harris. But
some guys are good, West, some guys are bad.
You know, if you have a guy that's willing to teach you the ropes and how it's done and how to... Because you can draw up plays, right? Draw up a pretty play. You run the quarter, you run the go, you go in the flat. It doesn't always work out that way, you know? Most times it works out a little different.
Turns out there's a defense there.
Written up on paper. You know?
So I think I want to be clear on this, Chew, because do I think that it can be a recipe for success?
Yeah.
I do. I just don't think it happens enough. I don't think that the variables line up enough. The situation is like this enough for it to be a viable option for most franchises.
100%. Because the Packers, like Jordan Love happened to be there, and maybe they almost drafted Drew Locke the year before. And who knows how that works out? My guess is not very well. Right, so a lot of these guys end up flopping anyway. Some of it's their fault, some of it's not.
Yeah,
but a lot of these guys, when they're drafted into the league as first round picks,
yeah,
like they have to play.
But just think of how many quarterbacks they destroy by playing them as a rookie.
Sure, but like let's take the Minnesota Vikings for example. Is J.J. McCarthy really going to learn that much behind Sam Darnold?
He'll learn some.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, he'll learn some. He won't learn a ton.
How much is it worth for him to sit for, what, 6-8 games, and then he plays the second half of the season? And that's the other thing with the quarterback position is it's just so rare because the quarterback's not coming off the field. Like you said, with tight ends, wide receivers, running backs, you can cycle them in and out.
Rotate in.
So many different positions in the NFL, you can have those guys. Like the Packers did with Lucas Van Ness last year. Hey, we can have you kind of dip your toe in the water, play a handful of snaps, put you in very specific situations to try to give you success, but then take you on and off the field. You're not doing that with your quarterback.
So you guys aren't a proponent of, if take the Kansas City Chiefs, right, and put Patrick Mahomes in year, let's say 13. They just won the Super Bowl next year. You have a problem with them drafting a quarterback that next year?
And I'm glad that we're nailing this down, because I do not have a problem with them. I have been the person who said that Goody did the right thing by trying to also draft for the future, by recognizing that Rodgers was at the end of his rope or coming around the home stretch of his career, and saying, we got to have a plan in place for when this thing goes sideways or when the wheels fall off. I have said that that is how it should be handled. What I'm saying is Mahomes, Rodgers, that might be the list of having a Hall of Fame, a future Hall of Fame, top tier, you know, a unicorn guy at the position. And it's also about the demeanor, right? It's also about whether or not the demeanor of the incumbent and the demeanor of the guy who was drafted,
yes,
if they're willing to actually learn or if they get antsy in that position. If Favre, who famously did not want to mentor Aaron Rodgers, is your guy, if your guy that's in there is more like Favre, it's not going to work.
I totally agree. Yes. But look at Chicago. I mean, they're going on their third guy who really is going to learn from nobody.
Correct.
You had Trubisky. Who'd he learn from? Nobody.
Yep.
Fields? Nobody.
Well, I mean,
and now you got Caleb Williams. They think he's going to be great, but I'm leaning more towards that. The Bears will screw it up.
The last time a Bears quarterback could have learned from anyone was Sid Luckman.
Yeah.
Right? Like, so their line of quarterback history is a little bit different. But I mean, the thing
you can
is,
learn a lot of ambivalence from Jay Cutler, though.
There was Jay Cutler, though.
Can learn how to smoke a cigarette.
Care.
Yeah.
But to Jen's point, yes. And most of the time when you have yourself with that quarterback, the way that the Saints did, I mean, the Saints are still paying repercussions from trying to go all in and try to leverage that Hall of Fame quarterback as much as they possibly could.
Ron and the Key weighing in, and I appreciate this insight from our friend Ron and the Key, saying the Packers didn't draft Jordan Love intending for him to sit behind Aaron Rodgers. Please stop saying that was their strategy. They, and I, to be fair, thought Aaron Rodgers was done, but you can't move on when he wins an MVP. So Ron is saying they actually fell into this thing working out as opposed to strategizing it in this way, which, again, I think takes even more away from what Brady is saying.
I mean, he wasn't done.
No, but they also kind of fell into Aaron Rodgers when they drafted Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
Because he fell so far
correct
down the board.
And the Aaron Rodgers smoke about being unhappy had already started by that time. Mm-hmm. It didn't. We put it back to Jordan Love, but his unhappiness thing predates that. So that was an insurance policy. They knew they had control mm-hmm of Aaron Rodgers. It was either he retires or he's a Green Bay Packer.
And I still always say, and I know that there are people who disagree with me on this, but you cannot quantify what the drafting of Jordan Love did for the evolution and the continued success of Aaron Rodgers. Right? He's a guy who has been motivated by slights. Yes. He's a guy who's been motivated by criticism. He's a guy who's been motivated by, you don't believe in me, his entire career. When you go out and get his replacement, I still think that deserves some credit for elevating him to that next level.
That's why you don't want to take back that they're not winning a Super Bowl for sure.
Yeah, I'll bet you any amount of money you want, big guy. They ain't winning the Super Bowl.
I'll take playoffs.
They might sneak into the playoffs. I mean, they're better than Jen's Miami Dolphins, but
I feel very confident about the Dolphins. Did you see yesterday they signed Waddle to that big deal?
Yeah.
Tua's next.
Cool.
Waddle is very good. I don't know.
Sure.
Yeah, but Tua's not.
that's what he keeps saying.
He's fine. He's all right.
Yeah. He's sub Kirk Cousins.
I'd rather have Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
Same.
100%. Yes.
Yeah.
1,000%.
At 46 years old. Okay, fair. Fine.
He's not as mobile. Yeah, he's not as mobile, sure, but at least he's not going to underthrow your wide open receiver 30 yards down the field.
We'll see. We'll see.
One thing we all agree on for sure, though, is Palermo's Pizza and how great it is. There's so many different brands underneath that Palermo's umbrella. We're talking about Palermo's Urban Pie, Connie's Surfer Boy Pizza, Screamin' Sicilian. So many great different flavors, so many great different tastes. You want to make sure that your freezer is always stocked at all times, especially now that we're in the summer. You're going to be going out. You're going to be doing things with the family. Going to get back. Oh, man, I don't really want to make a meal, but I still want something that tastes great. That's where Palermo's comes in. They've been doing this for over 60 years right here in Wisconsin. So find them in your grocer's frozen food aisle. Palermo's. Flavor is our family's business.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
His eyeball.
Wait.
Where do I get him?
I just assumed, when I said wait, did you just think it was just a suggestion?
Yeah, pretty much. Typically.
On 94.5 ESPN.
I fell for the devil's daughter. I jumped in, yeah. I drank the water. Now it's toxic. Can you fix my brain?
A weekly pulse on the Milwaukee Bucks, straight from a fan favorite and Bucks legend. Tune in to Hear District with Marcus Johnson, Bucks Plus Audio Production. Marcus and his son Chris, a 1995 UCLA hoops champ himself, talk about everything happening in the Bucks world, and they're joined by some of the biggest names in basketball. Plus, they'll answer your questions too. Stay on the beat of the Bucks and find Hear District now on Bucks.com/plus the Bucks app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I will be very honest here. I have a love-hate relationship with the self-checkout lanes at stores. On one hand, I love the efficiency. I love that if I have a basket full of things, I don't have to wait in line. I can go over there and boop, 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 boop my way through it. What I don't like is when it yells at me, and I do mean yell, right? Because they have this tone, and then if they don't think you've put your baggage or your item in the baggage area, they get very shrill. The machine will be like, place your item in the baggage area. Like, whoa!
Put the lotion in the basket.
Whoa! Most of the time I already have, it just hasn't had the sensor. The sensor hasn't worked and hasn't recognized that I have put the item, in fact, in the baggage area. So then the light goes off and they're like, an associate is on their way. So now you're waiting for an associate to come from the back of the store, which is where they were stocking shelves because they don't staff people at the front of the store anymore. And then the efficiency part has flown out the window. So I do have a love-hate relationship with the self-checkout option. Sounds like a few of the stores here in Milwaukee are getting rid of self-checkout altogether. Is that a good thing, Gabe, or a bad thing?
I think ultimately it's probably a good thing. I would prefer to go through a line. I would prefer to go ahead and have somebody else check, you know, throw my things into a bag when I'm at the grocery store, but that's never an option for me. I swear, because if I go grocery shopping on the weekend, it's going to be pretty early because I'm usually up pretty early. So I'm there at like 6:30 in the morning and there's nobody there. The only option for me in my week's worth of groceries is the self-checkout line. And then I get over like 30 in it. And then someone's got to come over. Well, you're over 30. Here you go. So you can keep bagging. I have no other option. I have to do the self-checkout. I don't like doing the self-checkout. I'd rather go through the regular checkout line, but it's never an option. Nobody's ever there whatever time you go.
Do you think it's a shoplifting thing?
It's a staffing thing for starters, right? I don't think that places have enough staff.
But I mean, it's not setting off, say you forgot to zoom the avocado or whatever. It's not setting off an alarm when you're leaving the store, correctly?
No, yeah. It's just people aren't scanning everything. So first of all, it was brought to us as a staffing issue. It happened a lot during COVID. That's kind of where we saw the pivot for every grocery store where they went to basically, they've got like one line open of a person and then the rest is all self-checkout. But I would gather with less people up front, there are more people taking advantage of the fact that they're not watching everything.
And I understand that the scale has to be very sensitive because some of the stuff, if you throw a box of Band-Aids, boop, into the thing, well, good luck identifying that box of Band-Aids that weighs a gram or whatever it is, you know? So, like, it has to be very sensitive. But too often, I will have been going through the routine, dropping the stuff in the bag, and it'll back me up a couple of items. Now, the two things I have scanned since then didn't get scanned because the machine was catching up because it didn't feel the weight of whatever I supposedly just scanned go into the bag, and we're back at the beginning. I will tell you this. There's one place I refuse to use the self-checkout, and that is Costco, okay? We buy a lot of stuff at Costco. We got a big family. We buy in bulk. It's very convenient for us. My husband came to Costco with me the other day, and that crazy son of a gun rolled up into the self-checkout line with a cart full of Costco things. And I was like, what are you doing? We're not self-checkout at Costco. These people are experts for a reason. They stack the boxes. They put the things in. They know where the fruit goes and where the meat goes. We don't self-checkout at Costco. So it sounds like self-checkout. We self-checkouted at Costco.
How'd it go? Yeah. Chaos?
Yeah, it took forever. It took a long time. It was chaos, yes. And also, my credit card didn't work, so that was another. And of course, the guy was like, have you paid your bill? I was like, I always pay the bill immediately. I use the card so we get the points, the rewards. Oh, it turned out they had sent me a new card. It was sitting right there in my wallet next to the old card that I was trying to scan over and over again. So user error is what we would call that, folks. And user error is probably a lot what goes wrong with the self-checkout. I'm torn on this RIP, if I'm being honest.
Plus, I mean, it's easier to probably, walk out with a lot of things if you really wanted to. Because some of the bigger items, if you go to the grocery store, scan them. Just put it in your cart because you don't want to put it on there, you know, like a soda, you know, or what if you're getting a case of water, whatever.
Well, you can gun that stuff.
Could. But also, you could just, you know, not check it, put all your bags on top of it.
Yeah, but they're checking you on the way out the door, though.
Costco, yes.
Costco does.
Yeah, most other places do not. And that's, my guess is, ultimately, I think they're getting rid of this because it's probably costing them money from people just shoplifting things.
I think that's why Walmart has gone, because, I don't know, I know in Florida they have a checker there, too, like Costco because I think they were losing a lot of money to, mm-hmm.
well,
to
probably
shoplifting.
Because the checker's always scrolling through TikTok. You ever see the checker standing there? They're supposed to be watching the self-checkout lanes and they're just scrolling through their feed. That's probably part of the reason why people feel comfortable stealing. Look, we're not promoting stealing. We're not saying like you should take advantage of the loophole that self-checkouts provide. But I'm torn because there
Maybe
are
Walmart.
Times when it is more when it is more convenient, right? There are times if you're a competent person, here's an idea for you. What if you made people go through a licensing step where you have to get a license to use the self-checkout, right?
Wait, so now I got to go through just to get my damn groceries?
Yeah, but one time. You get
no,
one
I
time.
Don't know. No, it takes long enough for me to give you just staff someone.
But there is a certain skill set required to use the self-checkout. Am I right, Joshy?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
there's
I
people,
don't use it.
There's people you get behind and you're like, I could be here all day. I think the perfect way to fix this is what it was originally intended for. It was for people with a few items who just wanted to get in and out. You got 10 items or less, 12 items or less. If you have less than that, happily use the self-checkout because it's way easier to manage. If you have a cart full of stuff, you got to go see somebody. But that requires proper staffing. So, like, if this Pick and Save franchises think they can do that and accommodate people, I'm all for it. Take it back to how it was. It worked. For a long time.
For a very long time. Yeah. Decades and decades and decades.
And the self-checkout worked.
I think it's very simple, Chew. People like options. I like walking to the edge of the store when I'm about to check out, seeing that there are a couple of aisles that have actual human beings scanning stuff across, asking my kids if they want the sticker. Are you having a good day? Did you find everything you need? Making the small talk pleasantries. And also, if that doesn't work for me today, having the option of zipping through the self-checkout lane and hopefully getting to my car quicker. And I think if you offer those options, I feel like more people will walk out happy with their shopping experience, fair or unfair.
I'm old school. Like, I always had a problem with, I never cook my steak at prime quarter because I don't go out to eat to cook my own food. It's like there. I don't want to bag my own groceries, you know? I want to go to my buddy Dan at Sendex, who's like, he knows I'm going to be there at 11:02 every day.
I was about to say, so as somebody who goes to the grocery store every day,
yes.
Like you're not getting a cart full of things. Very
no.
rarely are you getting a cart full of
the
things because you go
all the time. I don't like the little carry-on thing with wheels. It's too difficult for me.
Not the shopping cart, the other thing, the little basket.
The shopping basket with
that
wheels.
Has the wheels on it?
Yeah.
Ah,
you're
not
too
a fan.
Tall for that, I think.
I know.
Unless they have an extension.
You are too tall.
Yeah.
You're way too tall for the basket.
Yeah.
Why don't you just carry it, Muscles?
I could do that.
Yeah, but it's just right after his workout.
Yeah,
he's a little
that's
tired.
A lot of work.
But he's got all those muscles.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's like my weed whacker.
Whoa. Jen, why those can't... are for show. Those aren't supposed to be functional at this point.
They're for show, not for go.
See,
not for toe. Oh, I'm so close.
Tall people are so discriminated against. It's like my weed whacker, you know? I gotta like crouch down in a catcher's stance to whack weeds. You can't make one with an extended pole so I can stand up straight, damn it.
For like the six former NFLers who are out there whacking their own weeds.
Yes.
If we were to take two classes here, and it's the advantages of being 6'4" or taller and the disadvantages.
More disadvantages.
Oh,
there is way more. Ashy, help me out
bozo?
Here. Ash, way more.
Ashton, help me out. He like calls out like, Clarence!
This is crazy.
Taller people have better
Your tall
jobs.
Your guardian angel
success.
Is Ashton.
Pollution? It's much more polluted at 6'6" than it is at 5'10", let me tell you.
Oh, you pollute yourself.
I have before.
So many folks weighing in with their reaction to the self-checkout RIP. There are some stores in Milwaukee that are getting rid of the self-checkout option. Apparently, they think it will make the shopping experience more pleasant for their customers. We'll get to some of that reaction right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What do we do? Where do we go from here?
We've talked about insulation. We've talked about fantasy camp. And now we've talked about Burning Man. We've hit for the cycle in the first 5 minutes of the show.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Join former NBA stars and Marquette basketball alumni Dwayne Wade and Travis Diener as they return to Milwaukee this summer for Wade vs. Diener Champions for Literacy. Golf alongside the stars at North Shore Country Club in Mequon on June 17th, a day full of fun, food, and events, and good golf all while helping local youth literacy projects. If golf isn't for you, check out the Tee Off Party. That's June 15th at Pilot Project. You can learn more by going to wadedienergala.givesmart.com. That's wadedienergala.givesmart.com. Save me. Lots of reaction rolling in on our conversation about self-checkouts. We are putting it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll as well, which is that some grocery stores are removing the option for self-checkout. Are you a fan of self-checkout at stores? I am a fan. I like the option of using self-checkout when my own personal situation warrants it. But there are times when I like someone else scanning the groceries and having a conversation. And Costco is the one place I refuse to do self-checkout because there's too many things and they're too big. Reaction rolling in. Jacob says, it drives me nuts at the self-checkout if you're buying ammunition, sporting goods, knives, or spray paint. You have to have somebody look at your license.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. That's.
I think we should keep that.
Yeah. If we're going to have a vote, I'm going to vote to keep that in place.
Pro, the alcohol look at your thing, license. Yeah.
To take it a little different, the alcohol thing can be an annoyance if it's really busy and your only option is self checkout.
Yeah.
And then you have to wait for someone to come up and it's like, I didn't even want to be here. I would have just checked out with the person in the alcohol part of the store if they were there.
There have been times where I've decided to not buy the alcohol to throw in the fridge at home just because I'm like, I don't need somebody coming up and just checking the idea. That's just, I want to get out of here as quickly as possible.
Alan weighing in saying, I work a couple nights at a grocery store and I'm not going to lie. The only customers we see that hate self-checkout are the idiots. Just saying.
For those listening, Chewy slowly raised his hand.
He says, there is a Sky Judge camera watching from above to see if you properly swiped an item. Kroger's is adding self-checkout carts with the scanner attached to the cart. So you can just scan as you pull it the shelf, drop it into your bags, which are in the carts. The carts are weighted so they know what has been scanned and put in the bags.
Best of luck to you to go grocery shopping with small children who just love throwing things into the cart.
Or eating things, right? Like string cheese or smoothies or all. My girls will open up a pack of strawberries and just start eating them.
You're a eat at the grocery store family?
I was going to say, I am not an eat at the grocery store, but I have two little bosses that if they're hungry at the grocery store, I'll stave off a temper tantrum by giving them some of the food, yes. All right, thanks for hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this week. Wildy and Tosh is next on ESPN Milwaukee. Have a great weekend, everybody. We will be with you again on Monday. Hey, this is your cue to call, 800-990-3776. We are giving away one more pair of Snoop Dogg tickets today. Call us at 800-990-3776 right now to win those Snoop Dogg tickets at Pottawatomie Amplified. I believe it is June 15th at the Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. We are taking caller number 6 right now to win those Snoop Dogg tickets. Have a good one, everybody.